From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams here for Steve Ryman. He'll be back with you again tomorrow. Steve's doing a great job, and I am so privileged to occasionally get to talk to people here on Mondays on ABQ Connect. And today we have our Director of Connection Communications, Chip Lusko, all the way from the other side of the world. Chip, where are you today?
Hard to tell. It's been a great trip. I'm just getting back stateside. It's been 42 hours, so I could be a little bit loopy, Jim, so bear with me.
I understand. Well, you had a great time working with Slave Valasanov, who has been, he's a Croatian pastor. He's been part of the missions team from Calvary Church for many, many years. And tell us about your trip.
Well, yeah, it was a one-man invasion, and frankly, it had been planned since before the COVID epidemic, and they would every all the missions, short-term missions trips, pretty much got canceled, and that we've been trying to reschedule it, and finally got it done this last 2 weeks, and so I was able to go over to Macedonia, which is the old part of the old Yugoslavia. The whole area has been broken up, and it's a very interesting history. But we've been working with Slave in Macedonia and Croatia for many, many years. So it was something I wanted to do. He's been in Albuquerque. He's well known by our team, and he's a real deal. I mean, he's there on the ground. You got to realize that in these areas, Greece and Bulgaria, all of the Slavic Balkan nations, the largest evangelical churches are 50 people. Mm. I mean, at one time before COVID, Slavia had built up his church in Strumica to 200. That's really extraordinary. People are just very not evangelically oriented, and the Orthodox Church is very powerful. Not that people attend it except during the major holidays, but they really relate to it.
Yes. Chip, I've heard it described by people who have lived in that part of the world. I think Slavi actually used this description for us when he was on the radio with us. He said that unlike South Asia, where you have a lot of extreme poverty, people just fighting to eat every day, that's not really the case in this area, these former communist countries, but that the people have grown up without any religion at all, not just Christianity, but there's now a Muslim population, there's Christians, there's atheists, etc. Tell us about the people and how receptive they are to the gospel.
Well, they are, if you can get to them. And I agree with your point, but during the communist era, from, say, 1950 to when 1990, 91 in that area, there was a religion, and the government was the religion.
Mm.
And that really was, you look to the government to solve your problems. They were the ultimate authority. They told you where you could travel, what you could do, where everything. And so you could really sense that. And as we drove into Bulgaria Sunday morning, I was going up to a Baptist church. Slavi said, in the 90s, every community had a communist checkpoint where you had to pay to get it. You couldn't just travel freely, even through the small country of Bulgaria. And he said it was very dangerous, and the mafia was patrolling the roads, and they would hold you up for money, or perhaps even do worse to you. So I mean, when you went into Bulgaria, you could really sense kind of a depressive spirit of the country. I mean, the actual infrastructure of the country reminded me very much of Cuba, which is still currently a socialist / communist nation. When Skip and I went there a few years ago, it was really astonishing to see they had turned the churches into museums. The churches were still open, but they were now museums, and they were theaters, and they were run by the government. So that's the case right now in places that are currently communist. I'm sure we'd find that, and I wish we could go and preach in North Korea, but I'm sure we'd find that to be the case, as a contrast to South Korea, which is having a evangelical revival. But Bulgaria was, the people are just so sweet and so kind, but they're sad. There was a spirit of sadness over the area. I mean, it's beautiful weather. It's about the same latitude as New Mexico. So the blue skies were there, and it's very, very similar, the mountains and that. But, boy, it just is a place that so needs the gospel.
Chip, so much of your life has been spent wanting to get the gospel to the entire world. You and Skip Heitzik have made quite a team delivering the messages from the pulpit here at Calvary Church all over the world, radio shows, television, podcasts, etc. How has Chip Lusko changed when you take one of these trips?
That's a good question. I mean, frankly, I feel like I'm changed more than my audiences and the people I get a chance to share with. I mean, it's always so invigorating. And I come back, I'm just on fire. I mean, I am absolutely exhausted. I may be babbling here in this interview, but I mean, I'm fried, but I just sitting here and the Lord just, I had great times in the Word. I really drilled down in the book of Jonah for the whole week and just really studied that. I had the opportunity to give 11 talks in 10 days, and I mean, it was exciting. It's always, you know, kind of curious working with a translator. You have to kind of, you're pacing in your tempo, and you can't give a full message because your time is literally cut in half. But I gave what I considered to be really important message that really well received. Here's something kind of funny, though. The first time I was teaching, and in Strumica, and I was doing a message on, I really don't remember, but I was doing a message, and people were shaking their heads no, back and forth, left and right during the message. I'm like, oh man, what's going on here? But you learn when you're teaching, you don't pay attention to people's, you know, the faces, because you can't do that. So I'm like, okay, but I'm pressing on. I'm not doing anything I wouldn't do anywhere else. And so afterwards, I said, Slavi, what's the deal, man? They were shaking their heads no. He goes, oh, man, I should have told you. When they shake their heads no here, it means yes. I go, well, you should have shared that with me, dude, you know.
Well, and Slavi's been preaching many, many years. I'm always fascinated with talking with Slavi because he speaks so many different languages. Is language still a pretty big barrier there?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's huge. You know, I'm coming back. I'm sitting at the Atlanta airport. I'm just glad to hear English. I just want to walk around and hear various conversations, you know, because except when I was talking to Slavia or when I was speaking, I was surrounded by either Croatian or Macedonian or Bulgarian for 10 days. And so it really kind of plays with your mind. It's interesting. But yeah, it's a huge issue. And I mean, you can go between countries there the way you go between states in Northeast USA. And you can go between Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Massachusetts in one day. You can go between Greece and Croatia and Macedonia and Bulgaria in one day. And you got to go through the whole passport thing. But it's a completely different culture. And what's interesting, Macedonia is surrounded to the north and the east by Greece, and by Germany, and then ultimately by Italy, which are all relatively wealthy Western European nations. And so what's happening is that is drawing all the young people. I mean, the young people in the Balkans are just leaving, and there's no jobs to be had. And it's a very sad thing. And there's a very vibrant culture of 18-year-olds in Macedonia. But Slavi says they all leave as soon as they're out of school.
Chip, as you look at these countries and may have had some preconceptions about, or expectations, maybe it would be a better word, as you were traveling a week or so ago, what are misconceptions that Americans have about this area of the world?
Well, I think it goes back to what you asked earlier. Is that, you know, why are you going there? And you know, I've been on a lot of mission trips over the years, and I really tried not to be any kind of burden to the recipients. I mean, I've seen some mission trips go and they're like a tourist trip, and they kind of go and say, hey, entertain me, or here, you know, we're here to see the country. And, you know, the last thing a missionary needs, wherever they are, is 10 or 15, you know, Americans coming in and wanting to be entertained for 2 weeks. Mm. And that's a huge, it's a problem. And with the people we've taken over the years, we really try to avoid that. So when I go, I go to be part of the team. And I mean, I just completely try to fit in. You know, I'm at 6'2", a little bit difficult in India, but that's my goal, Jim. And I've never gone and regretted it ever. And I've gone to some very difficult places, and you know, I've slept on concrete and one-star hotels, and it's fantastic when you come back.
You have a heart for people all over the world, and Uganda is another mission. We talk with Bev all the time, who is the director of Called Christians in Uganda. Talk to us about the trip that you're planning coming up in 2022.
So I'm really excited about this. You know, we've really brought Bev under our wing, onto our team for a number of years now, and I'm grateful that it's made an impact, and she's just such a superstar. I'm so impressed by her, what she's done in Uganda, especially after her husband, you know, very unexpectedly, very young, passed away on the mission field. And a lot of people would have come back. And no one would have blamed her, especially in a society like that that's very patriarchally inclined, and they're very, very reluctant to take the leadership of women. And Bev stayed there, and she's proved herself, and the ministry is growing. So I'm just saying that as a prelude to, we were also planning a trip to Uganda right before COVID hit. We had a great, I was so excited about it. We had a great team put together, and we're going to do work on the ground at Called Christians, which is a cool campus right in Jinja. And then we're going to go out into the field with a bus and a tent and speakers, and do evangelistic events both in Jinja and then surrounding villages. So I'll be able to share the gospel, and we'll be doing kids ministry. So I mean, it's what we should be doing, Jim. And we finally got it locked in now. We're leaving April 30th of next year, 2023, 14 days on the ground in Jinja. We fly into Entebbe, and then work hard and then play hard. In a couple days at the end, we're going to do a real life safari. It's all taken care of in the payment, and we're going to go look for the big four and the lions and giraffe and whatnot. So that's the deal, and I'm leading it. We got openings for about 15 people who want an adventure, who want to work hard, and really, we're going to do some good things.
So, Chip, people are listening right now, and they're thinking, well, I don't know if I'm called to the mission field. Aren't these short-term trips really to help people identify if God's calling them to that endeavor?
Well, I'm going to give you an extra biblical answer. It's my opinion. I really think pretty much everybody should at least go once. I made sure that my kids went, and then they went multiple times. Some did. But I made sure, you know, when I came back today, I just got off the plane in Atlanta, and I was so grateful for America. I mean, the American flag was up there. I said, welcome to the United States of America. And man, I was so proud to come back here. There's a reason no one's breaking into Uganda. There's a reason the borders are secure there. Mm. I mean, and it's a fact. I mean, so we need to really realize what God has done here and the tremendous platform he's given us. And one of the things I really tried to expound upon was that, to whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given so much, Jim. I mean, you know, I did a media seminar for some pastors And I told them, well, look, there are 1,200 Christian radio stations in America and hundreds of 24-hour-a-day TV stations. They couldn't believe it. There are none there. I mean, there are none. There's no Christian radio in that whole region. And so, I mean, we have a tremendous platform here, and we just can't keep it to ourselves.
And people that are listening right now, they may not be called to go to the mission field, but we ought to pop back to Slave Volosanov for a minute, because our listeners helped to put together some donations. The Lord used our listeners to put together some things that some finances for Slavi to actually buy a van, which he now is using to do ministry. That's another way people can help on the mission field.
That's correct, Jim. He specifically asked me to tell you and our team, thank you. That van, Slavi drives 100,000 miles a year. He has church plants. He has missionaries. He's home in Croatia, but he has churches that he's planted in Strumica. He supports churches in Bulgaria. He has missionaries throughout the area in Serbia. I mean, he's legit, and that van is really helpful. And he said, hey, thank you. We had a great time. We really had great. Spent a lot of time in the car driving between churches and whatnot, but. You know, how amazing is it, Jim, that I was teaching and preaching just a couple hours from Thessalonica, which is Thessalonians, the city, where I was 2 hours from Philippi and right by Berea. I mean, this is where the Bible came from, literally. And now to think we're bringing it back there and how the church has withered in this area so drastically, where they can't even imagine a church of the magnitude that we're accustomed to in America. I mean, that's a cautionary tale, I think.
Yes. Chip, we've talked about Slavi Volosanov. We've talked about Bev Rich in Jinja, Uganda. But there are a lot of other people. You've mentioned the team. Talk to us about other ways. If you go to calvarynm.church, go to the events page, you can see about the itineraries and the travel to go to Uganda, for example. But can people get involved with the missions team to find out more about that and who the senders are and all the different components of the team?
Yeah, I'd really encourage our listeners to really be engaged. I mean, yes, I'd be nice if everyone went at least once to the mission field, even if it's only Juarez. I mean, I say only Juarez because that's close. You don't have to go, you know, fly 42 hours to get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you could, I've been there many times, and it's eye-opening. It's extraordinary. And we have workers down there, and you'd be welcome to go and help with Operation Christmas Child. And that's a really good opportunity all over the world where you can go and be a part of that. And I've done it, and it's phenomenal, Jim. But yeah, we have the missions we support. And, you know, the first thing is to, you need to have a passion for it. You need to really understand. Jesus said, "Go into all the world." This is the family business. This is what we're supposed to be doing: build the church and preach the gospel. And so, we need to have passion, and we need to have vision. Once you're excited about the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission, you want to go running off wildly in all directions. You want to have a vision. Okay, what's in my hand? What can I do? How can I pray? How can I give? How can I go? How can I send? And that's the vision. And then you have consistency. This is not just one summer we're doing, a mission trip. This is the lifelong pursuit. This is the most important thing. The church is the most important institution on the planet. It's the only one that will survive this earth. And so Jim, I pulled up last Friday night in Bulgaria to a gypsy village. And in that area, that's not a pejorative term. They call themselves gypsies. And I mean, it was like being in Juarez. It was like being in Uganda in some of the villages. I mean, they live at that level of subsistence. But there's a little shack built by pallets, literally a shack with a tin roof and a light. And inside were 25, 30 people praying before I got there for my message. I mean, what's astonishing to me is everywhere I go, and I've been around. God's really given me a tremendous opportunity, and I'm so grateful for it. But everywhere I go, There's people just like that doing just what we do on Sunday mornings, just with, you know, different uniforms and in different buildings, but it's the same church.
Chip, what is the perception of people, Eastern Europeans, people in Africa, what's their perception of Americans?
Jim, that's a great question. And I don't want to go political here, but I'm going to tell you what I found. I wasn't doing polling or, you know, trying to find out who's voting in 2024 for whom. But first of all, they greatly respect America. I mean, there's no question about it. I found that in Israel. I found it almost everywhere I've gone. They love America. I will say right now, they're puzzled by our leadership. And I'm putting that kindly. It's like, what are you doing over there? And they see the transgender. They see the walking away from Afghanistan. They see what's happening over here. In the news, I was watching BBC News last night in Frankfurt as I was flying home, and they're covering all this stuff, and it doesn't reflect well on us. We need to turn around and go back to do our first works.
Yes. Chip, I can't help but think about Ukrainians. You weren't very far away from that area of the world. How is the war affecting people in Eastern Europe?
Well, they're concerned. I mean, I was just miles away from Bosnia and Herzegovina, which was, you know, just in the 90s, a huge battlefield. I mean, it's literally a few kilometers from there. And Ukraine, as you say, is not far. And they're in the shadow of the former Soviet Union. And so it's a deep concern. And Macedonia, it's now called Northern Macedonia because the Greeks demanded that. But they're trying very hard. I was watching the prime minister of Macedonia last night. They're trying very hard to get into the European Union. They want protection. They know the bear is out there. And they're very concerned.
Is there more opportunity to share the gospel in that area of the world than you would say maybe in the United States?
No, I would not. I mean, that has opened up more, and especially in Bulgaria. But there is still a hesitancy, I think. And I mean, they've been living in a complete look, Jim. They've been living in a completely secular society for a generation. I mean, they've existed without the church. And it's not even in their mindset. And so to reintroduce that, and we're starting to make some inroads in the media with Slave out there. I mean, it's a long road. People don't even have biblical literacy at any level outside of the very small contingency of the evangelical church.
Mm. And how's the Muslim community? Are there still strife between those communities? Because I understand in Yugoslavia, for example, where Slave is from, he's from Croatia, that you had Croats and Serbs and others just fighting simply because of ethnicity. And we don't have that kind of stuff in the United States, yet someone keeps telling us that we do.
Well, yeah, we do certainly have racial division, which is, you know, in some ways fictional, but that's a different conversation. But the Turks have imported, and of course Turkey is a highly Muslim nation, more and more radical with the new president. But yeah, I woke up every morning at 5, Jim, with a Muslim call to prayer. I mean, I'll say one thing for the Muslim, they get up early. And I say, okay, if you guys can pray, I can pray. And so I did, but it's a factor in Macedonia. It's a factor in the whole area. And it's seeping into Western Europe right now in a major way.
Chip, we'll remind our listeners now to go to the events page at calvarynm.church. By the way, if you're listening to this show right now and you may not be attending Calvary Church, maybe at another church, would you be welcome to look at taking some of these mission trips?
Absolutely. If you're ready to work, and you're ready to have a real adventure in Uganda, absolutely.
And that trip, again, is going to be in April of 2023, Chip?
So let me walk through it, Jim, for you. We're going to leave April 30th, which is a Sunday, and we'll fly by way of somewhere into Entebbe, which is, you know, really got a lot of history associated with it. And then we they'll pick us up in a van, and we'll go to Jinja, which is right at the banks of Lake Victoria, a huge freshwater lake. And if my history serves, it's one of the largest in the world. It's the head of the Nile, Jim. You can actually, we'll go out on a boat one night, and you'll see the Nile bubble up in the middle of Lake Victoria, and then it heads north, which is unheard of for a river, and it goes to Egypt, as everyone knows. But anyhow, we'll be, the Called Christian Campus is very secure. They have security. They have walls. It's very clean. It's very comfortable. We'll be having dormitories there for our team. We'll be working the hospitals, work in the prisons, food distribution. There's a church on campus there that will serve, and Beth may have some small jobs for us to do. But we'll all be in preparation for taking off and doing an evangelistic crusade, literally. And we'll start in Jinja, which is a population center. We want a large event. We want to see thousands of people come and hundreds and hundreds come to Christ that night. And then we'll take off in our bus, and we'll go to various villages for three or four nights around Jinja, and set up the tent, set up the chairs, set up the sound system, minister to the villages, do children's church, and do whatever kind of humanitarian things that might be helpful. And so we were going there to preach the gospel. You'll be helping with follow-up, helping with the children, having the opportunity to do some discipleship. So it's not going to be anything close to a tourist trip, at least until we get to the safari.
Yeah, that safari sounds like a nice way to cap off some neat ministry and taking care of people.
But we're going to be working and eating a lot of rice and beans and whatever the local fare might be. But we always try to, at the end of it, we try to do something special for the team and really celebrate. And in this case, we're going on a safari.
Chip, awesome. Your whole description of the trip sounds like a lot of fun. We appreciate you joining us today, and safe travels back to Albuquerque.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.